to the not so fun stuff, which is the news that we found out earlier today, Joe. Manny Pena, who we barely saw this season.
Manny Pena, hardly knew her.
Boo. but yeah, Manny Pena is out for the year. That left wrist injury, that was something that popped up in spring training, is continued to linger, and now he's got to have surgery on it, out for the year. No bueno.
Yeah,
it's just they obviously signed him for his defense, needed him in that backup catcher role, and now you better hope, you know, Contreras's defense has stepped up, because you're gonna need it now.
Yep. And you've dealt Shea Langeliers, obviously, in the trade to get Matt Olson. So this is, it's William Contreras' show here. We'll see. I mean, maybe if the defense is too bad, then maybe we'll see, pick any number of the Braves catchers that they ran through last year, maybe back on the team. Who was the guy who got hurt? What was his name? He's, like, famous for doing the referee imitation. I don't know if that strikes me. What was his name? Anyway.
Sorry.
Older guy got hurt, and I don't know why I'm blanking on his name right now. I'll look it up in just a second.
I was about to say, there was seven of them, Joe. That's why you can't remember. There was seven different catchers last season.
Regardless, I would say, definitely would pretty much honestly expect this team to sign like some veteran catcher. A Jeff Mathis type. He was one. He's not the one I'm thinking of, but somebody like that to just be a guy who, offers some almost like a pseudo, like a half coach almost in that kind of role. But I do think that there's an opportunity here for William Contreras. I mean, he could definitely get a good amount of playing time, being a guy who catches, once or twice through a five-man turn, rotation turn, and then he could also be slotted in as a DH on days when he's not catching, just to keep the bat going. And we've already seen, the bat is really starting to pop this year. And I would say when Contreras hits it hard, when he barrels a ball, it sounds like Acuna. Like there's like those players who have that different sound when the ball comes off the bat. It's like an explosion sound. Than more of an explosion than like kind of a cracking, and Contreras has got that. I mean, he's got big boy power, which is exciting. So, well, I'm actually like not so torn up about this because I'm actually excited about the opportunity that it leaves for Contreras.
I think it also the way that you're right. it's one of those like I need the defense to be good enough to back up his bat, because his bat's been so good. And it was a point at some point last week, in 10 plate appearances, he had 3 home runs. And, like, good. That's good. That's good numbers. like, that's one of those, like, yeah, I can deal with that for the rest of the year. It makes it frustrating when you see a lineup like is actually going out tonight where Orlando Arcia is the DH, because you're thinking that should absolutely be William Contreras. However, something tells me that Brian Snicker just having a catcher go down doesn't want both of his catchers playing in a game. I don't know whether it's like risking injury or just being more tired or whatever. So it's also just frustrating at the fact that you would love to have William Contreras in there DHing, and yet it seems like your manager is concerned about something and won't make that move. But definitely his bat has to be in there, and now he gets the opportunity with, whatever days that Travis d'Arnaud needs rest.
Stephen Vogt is the guy I was thinking of.
Yeah. I should have known that, Joe.
And he signed a 1-year contract with the A's, so he is not retired. Yeah. I thought that he may have retired after that injury, but that ended his season last year. But
so
Braves could get him back if they really wanted him, I'm sure.
So Stephen Vogt was a name that when he got signed, I was actually excited about last year. I went to
great clubhouse guy too.
Yeah, I went to a game back at Turner Field when the Braves played the Oakland A's, when Stephen Vogt played for the A's, and I sat on the third base side where like fans come up and get autographs from the other team. And he actually signed a ball for me because he was like signing stuff and he asked me, and I had this moment of like, well, I had brought a ball with me. Didn't necessarily want Steven Vogt to sign it because I didn't know who the guy was, but he was so nice about it. And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to start rooting for you now. And he honestly hadn't played very well, but he had gone from like the A's, I think the Yankees, he played for a little bit. And then the Braves signed him and I was like, cool, like I can root for him. And it didn't really work out.
Dude, I'm just looking at, we're going way off topic, but who cares? I'm looking at his Wikipedia page right now. He's got this paragraph in there. This is in his personal life section. Vogt has been considered a favorite among both fans, 3 links, who saw him as an underdog and everyman, 2 links. He was also popular among teammates on each team he played, on each team with which he has played, and is well known for his sense of humor. He won the Tampa Bay Rays talent show in both 2009 and 2010, eventually becoming MC of the shows, and in March 2019, he was voted one of the funniest teammates of the San Francisco Giants poll of players. He's well known for his impressions of various people, including Joe Madden, a basketball referee, which is what I mentioned, and yeah. Matt Foley, the motivational speaker.
Wow.
So,
I mean, come on, clearly the Braves could use that clubhouse.
And apparently does a ton of like philanthropy work with autism kids too. So yeah, it's
so I picked a good one all those years back, just a random guy to all of a sudden start cheering for.
So maybe the Braves look at to bring him back now that they've got a catching need. But oh, and the other big injury news that came out was Ronald Acuña Jr. has a little bit of a groin pull, so he's missing the game that's going on that would have just started now as we're recording this. Not good. I expected it. He never looked right to me after he got a base hit, rounded first base, and then the trainers came out to look at him. Didn't look at him for too long, and he continued to play. I think he like stole base afterwards or attempted a steal and was still just playing like Ronald Acuña Jr. does. In fact, the next half inning, he like caught a leaping ball at the track, which was very similar to the play in which he actually tore his ACL last year. So that was good to see, but he did not look right to me. And you could tell like between plays, I was keeping an eye on him in the outfield. He was kind of like stretching out and stuff like that. But I think it's probably good news that it's a groin issue that he's dealing with and not, obviously a knee or some sort of joint. So hopefully he can just get a couple days. They're not even going to put him on the IL. They're hoping that this thing can just get healed up in a couple days rest because they'll obviously have an off day tomorrow as well.
Yeah, they haven't put him on the IL yet. It's still a possibility, Joe.
They could. Yeah. They could then do that and then retroactively do it for when the last time he played was.
This was one of my concerns with Acuña. It's just the thing that you love about him is also something that you have to be concerned about, which is the guy loves the game. The guy is gonna play through anything. If he can play, he's going to play. I don't know, people may have forgotten when he tore his ACL, he got back up and tried to act like, talking with the trainers like, oh no, maybe I can like still do this, and tried to walk off the field before falling down and they had to carry him off. Like he is going to do his best to play at whatever cost, even when it might not be the best decision. And actually the best decision may have been to pull him out of that game when he initially injured it. It's just not how he's going to go about playing.
This is very similar to what I mentioned on the morning show when I was on with John and Hugh this morning, which is that the Braves are kind of in a pickle here with Ronald Acuña, because he's a player who, as soon as he looks like he's ready to come back, and when he plays the game, he's not going to play at anything other than full speed the way that he plays the game, which is also so exciting for fans. And as soon as the fans see that, they want to see it, more and more. And if fans see him playing in that kind of style, they're going to also think that there's nothing wrong with him physically, which, to be fair, I mean, I don't want to speak any knee injuries into existence. It does seem like his ACL is holding up totally fine. I mean, he looks as athletic as he ever has. But you just run into that, just that weird situation where you have this star player, you want to play him as much as possible. It seems ridiculous to like be resting him when he's not, you know, quote unquote hurt, but they're, you know, sports science tells you that you can prevent injuries from happening by, you know, giving guys proper rest, especially guys who are coming off of major injuries and long layoffs like Ronald Acuña Jr. is. So it's just an awkward situation for the club to be in, potentially having to rest Ronald Acuña Jr. even when he wants to play, he feels like he can play, and I don't know, maybe he should be playing in some of those instances, but it's just something that they're going to have to balance and deal with.
Yeah, I think there were moments earlier in the season when they were giving him rest that it just seemed like a bad idea because it seemed like it was causing him to be more inconsistent. This seems to be a smart decision to rest him because you're dealing with an injury. You don't want it to become more of a thing. The good news is it is groin, not knee. You know, no, we're not talking anything to do with the ACL. It is unrelated to that. However, it's just something that it seems like the best medicine is rest. And so hopefully all it takes is getting rest and then getting this travel day tomorrow before the Padres series.
And I kind of had a chuckle last night, too, and I think it's got to be reassuring to fans for when Brian Snicker was talking about this issue that happened last night and how the trainers went out to go check on him, and he was like, these trainers have got a hawk eye on him every second of the game. Like, and whenever they see a single thing that might look out of ordinary, they're going to go check on him. So you know that the Braves obviously, you know, have his best interest in mind and are going to be very aware to go out and make sure that he's not pressing it. That could make a potential injury worse than it is.
Yeah, that's, it's unfortunate. It's something we're going to have to keep an eye on for, like, the rest of the year, honestly.
Yep, it's going to be an ongoing thing. Yeah,
just till it's no longer, you know, till it's no longer an issue that has to be
until
monitored.
We like forgot that he had injuries.
Yeah, I can't wait for it.
I know.
I hope, like I said, I hope this is a short lived thing. I hope this is something that doesn't require an injured list stint. However, I'd much rather get ahead of it now. Mm-hmm. Not let this nag on and be something that he continues to play through and it turns into a bigger deal. Now, speaking of injuries, I know, I think since we last recorded, it was mentioned about Mike Soroka, his rehab's slowly coming along. They're thinking about sometime this summer, we should be able to expect to see him. That could be a really nice boost to this, you know, this list of starters.
I'm keeping my expectations extremely low.
Very low. Very low. I'm with you. I think it's just it's the natural like fan in me to see news come out and be like, oh yeah, that's that'd be a good time. That'd be a real good time.
Yeah.
You know, especially the Braves need something to jumpstart the season. Having a Mike Soroka could be at least a piece of what he was in the past.
Yeah,
would be awesome.
Could be huge. Yeah.
So maybe that's the thing that we like, you know, cross our fingers for heading into the summer, and just honestly hope that the Braves, like, real quick before we get out of here, it's one of those, like, are you okay with 500 ball getting through like I mean, because the Braves haven't even really been doing that. And it felt like that last year was like you can't be playing at 500 because you're just never going to make it. I feel like now we're at a point of like, are you okay with 500 ball if they could do that right now?
Yeah, this is really interesting in terms of like, it's almost a question of like, how do you like watch the season? How do you like judge the team's results? I always just like, it's about series, like just win series, yeah. Win series. Try to win every possible series. At worst, try not to lose any, you know, especially at home. And so that's why I think this one's a big one tonight against the Red Sox. Because I think players feel that as well. They just and that gives them momentum of just winning series or at least not losing series. So I don't know. I you know, 500 ball is not going to be able to cut it. They're going to have to play above that. But ideally, you know, if you're winning series, you think that you're playing somewhat, you know, over 500. Who knows what it's going to take, but they've obviously got to kind of pick up the pace from where they've been at as of yet.
All right. Well, that will do it for this week's episode of Batter Up. Thanks for everybody listening in.
Thank you.
Yeah. For my co-host, Joe Patrick, I'm Caleb Johnson. Have a good one.